There is perhaps no greater tragic figure in the entire scriptures than the prophet Jeremiah. He is completely, utterly a failure. And that is from day one, from the very moment God called him. Jeremiah begins by saying, I'm too young, I don't know how to speak. And God says, say not, I am too young. Early on, Jeremiah asks him, will the people listen to me? And God answers him, no, they won't. And we see Jeremiah's frustration in that all throughout the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And in the end, he lived to see the end of his country, the southern kingdom of Judah with its capital in Jerusalem. He lived to see the Babylonian conquest, the burning of the temple, and the exile into Babylon. He himself was not among those who went into exile. He remained with the remnant of Israel in Jerusalem and the surrounding regions. But then among that group, as the book of the prophet Isaiah tells us, even among that group, he saw these people blame him and his God, not their God, his God, for their downfall and their conquest. And they said, we are going back to Egypt, where we came from originally, to worship the God of the sun. No more will we have anything to do with your God. So this is the remnant and how they responded to Jeremiah. And while it is not in the book of the prophet, it is a tradition of the life of Jeremiah that, out of intense loyalty, he accompanied them back to Egypt, where he continued to preach the one true God, and there was assassinated by his own people. We get kind of a small smidgen of that notion from today's first reading, where he says, I speak terror on every side. Everyone is on the lookout for any misstep of mine so that they can bring an accusation against me. This is Jeremiah's life. But all throughout the prophecy of Jeremiah, God reminds him, I will be with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Give them the message I preach to you, and even though they don't listen, I will be with you to deliver you. Constantly saying that, constantly giving what we in this day and age refer to as encouragement to Jeremiah, to hang in, don't give up. And even when Jeremiah, in one of the great prayers from his prophecy, begins by saying, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped, where he says, I tell myself I will preach his word no more, God gives him that inspiration to the point where Jeremiah can't help himself. But despite that, Jeremiah knew that God was with him. And as we know, Jeremiah ultimately had the last laugh, as he's one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, even though no one at his time listened to him. At the same time, the portion we have in the gospel today is part of a wider discourse that Jesus gives right after he names the 12 apostles. It's a wonder no one came up to Jesus himself, as, let's face it, some Catholics are wont to do, and say, Jesus, what you said was not very encouraging to these disciples of yours. It's a wonder they stayed. We never hear comments like that coming from Catholics, do we? Or an apostle who came up and said, well, I wasn't too encouraged. I'm still your apostle, even though kind of be a little more uplifting. The first thing he tells them is, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Not the most optimistic image in the world. He's basically telling them, your message will get hostility, animosity, and resentment, even and especially from your family and your friends. But in today's gospel, we get those words of encouragement from Jesus. Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. In other words, all these critics of yours have their own deep, dark secrets that everyone's going to know about eventually. So don't worry about them. Don't fear those who can only kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather speak the words I've given you boldly out in the open. Because in the end, if you deny me, I'll deny you. But if you remain faithful and acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you before our Heavenly Father. Jesus gives that divine encouragement, which we refer to as inspiration, because it is going to be a difficult task that the apostles have. And like Jeremiah, every last one of them died a martyr's death, except one, traditionally, John the Evangelist. But he still encountered great suffering because of preaching the word. But all the other apostles died martyr's deaths just like Jeremiah did. But they never lost that zeal because they were always encouraged by God and by the words of Jesus, even when it looked its darkest for them. We are called to do the same. A few weeks ago in my homily, I asked a simple question. Are you a disciple or a critic? In the same way, how do we disciples behave and respond to one another, even to the word of God as we hear it? Do we respond with encouragement, either feeling it or giving it to one another? Or do we respond as the critic, finding fault with everything? It can be some of the most simplest things in the world. I recall an occasion in a previous parish where a mother with small children was at Mass and was struggling to keep her children focused. And at a certain point in the Mass, a parishioner came up to her, and this parishioner said, "If you can't control your children, you should leave them at home." And this after they received communion. Whatever works. But after Mass, someone came up and said, "You know, I'm a teacher. Why don't I give you a little pointers on how you might help them be focused?" And, you know, I remember what she was telling me and things my mother even told me too. You know, kneelers are there to be stood on, like during the Eucharistic prayer, standing the children, whispering in their ear. Parenthood is not a contemplative vocation. Keep the children focused, and gave the person pointers and encouragement. Didn't work the first few times, obviously, but over time. And that's an example of giving encouragement, or socking it to them, hoping you'll scare them into doing something right. The same thing with, you know, anyone who offers service to the people of God or to the church. There are always those who are ready with a criticism. And usually people who are critical love to present themselves as representative of everyone there. Have you ever read some of those letters or emails that some of you might have gotten? They speak as if they're representing a whole slew of people who are behind them, when really they're only talking for themselves. But then an occasional thank you. We appreciate the visits to the sick that many of our parishioners do, the ministries that many of our parishioners engage in, the assistance that we priests get, which we truly appreciate, and the words that you give to us priests. Because in many ways, Jesus recognizes it's not just individuals, but a group is who he is talking to. As a group, they're all in this together. And as a group, they need that encouragement because he is sending them out as sheep among wolves. Every now and again, granted, Jesus will say to his disciples, "Get out of my sight, you Satan." But really, that's about as bad as it gets. Other times he'll say, "You're not exactly sure what you're asking for. Consider this." The ones he's critical of are the ones who are outside their company, those who are outside offering criticism to those within. But for the most part, he gives encouragement, admonishment, but always direction to his disciples. That is what he gives us as we live in a world that is sometimes brazenly hostile to our faith and its message of salvation. Some, unfortunately, respond by denying that faith, downplaying it, leaving it, wishing the church were more with the times, or, "I'll come back to the church when it changes this particular teaching, or when this particular priest is not in our parish, or when this particular parishioner stops behaving this particular way." Jesus tells us today, "If you deny me before my Father, I will deny you." But hang in and continue moving forward, preaching that word, and acknowledging me before others, and I will acknowledge you before my Father. He gives us those words of encouragement, and we are called to give those words of encouragement to one another. And it's not just words of encouragement, because it comes from our God and His Son. These are words of inspiration, meant to motivate us to a divine task, an otherworldly task, to give us encouragement, not discouragement, as we go out as sheep among wolves. And let us imitate that example in Christ. You can always count on someone to tell us when we're doing it wrong. But how often do we give that encouragement to those who answer His call as followers of Christ, as ministers of the Word, ministers from the parishioners to those who are sick, those in need? Do we give words of encouragement like a true disciple? Or are we a critic, always pointing out when we perceive something might be a little off? And if every now and again, as I too can often be guilty of it, we feel moved to be critical, sometimes it can be quite constructive. But I always give the same advice to students with their teacher, to citizens, to their politicians, to parishioners with their priests, or any public speaker. If you are so moved to feel negatively or hostile or critical of something, give it a few days. Sleep on it. Mull it around. There's a reason Jesus said to Peter, "Get out of my sight, you Satan." Jesus didn't come right back at him. He probably thought, "No, what exactly did I do here?" Give God a chance to speak to you, even in the midst of what might be a tremendous challenge. And when we recognize the challenge of the gospel, then we find that in itself is encouragement, because that's God speaking to us. But never react. Never go off the cuff. And in that, we might just recognize, even in the most difficult of this message, the encouragement that God gives us to true conversion, the changing of our lives, and perhaps move us to give encouragement to one another. So let us pray as we receive this Eucharist, and as now we're back in ordinary time, the solemnities and the feast days are behind us. We now go into an uninterrupted time of ordinary messages of the gospel of Christ till the end of our liturgical year. Let us be renewed in this basic aspect of who we are called to be as a people of faith. Not critics, but disciples. Not worshiping a God who tears us down for everything we do wrong, but one who lifts us up and encourages us as He sends us forth for a difficult task. And let us do the same as we are all in this together, as we are all sent out as sheep among wolves, as we are all called to lift one another as Jesus lifted up His disciples, as He gave them their missionary task of preaching His word to the communities around them.